WSDQ Dunlap, WEPG South Pittsburgh, The Copperhead, WSDT Sunny Daisy, Chattanooga.
The viewpoints expressed on Liberty Works Radio Network are not necessarily those of the network, its affiliates, or sponsors. This is Liberty Works Radio Network. Now live from coast to coast and around the globe, more real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome to the Truth Attack Hour. I am Steve Hempling, Director of Free Enterprise Society. This program tries to expose the truth about subjects that affect American liberty, your liberty. For those that know me, income tax has been one of my main issues, as it destroys Americans' desire to work or be successful. My goal would be to eliminate the income tax for everyone. Imagine that. Now, the IRS has been preempted to actually send out checks and do other things, and the income tax has been put on hold. And, of course, if you're not working, the income tax is not an issue right now, which is really pathetic that the governors and some of these states are just telling people who is important, who counts, who is and who's going to get a paycheck and who's not. I just totally disagree with that. I mean, there's an insanity going on out here. And we're going to talk about some of those things today on COVID. We're going to talk about, for me, it's how it relates to the Constitution, you know. If the Constitution is the formula that made this country great, the reason I think we're having problems is because we stopped following the Constitution. The Democrats, you know, have been watching some of these hearings. They obviously have never read the Constitution. And they talk about it sometimes, but it's clear that they don't have a clue what it says in between those pages. So, and the riots and everything going on is quite disturbing. But we're going to talk about that. We have a great guest today. We're going to talk about those things. He's an attorney, Donald McPherson. He's been an attorney as long as I can remember. I remember hearing about him, and he was involved with some cases for Free Enterprise Society in the 1985 era, 1986, something like that. And he's a veteran, and he does stand up for the Constitution. And those cases I talked about were against the Internal Revenue Service, and it takes a brave person to even go against the IRS. We talked to several attorneys, and most of them, once they hear that we're dealing with the IRS, they have nothing to do with us. But this attorney, if you got IRS problems, he runs toward it, and he helps people. So, anyway, welcome, Mr. McPherson. It's a pleasure to have you join me. So.
Hey, Steve, Mac here, and thanks for having me on the show again. And, hey, we got to give you credit for that big win. It was five of your members, that case back in the mid-'80s. That was the Fargo Five, tried in Fargo, North Dakota, and we got them all acquitted. Now, that was state charges.
That was North Dakota.
They were all members of FBS and well educated by you and your group, and I've tried over 55 criminal tax cases in federal court in 25 states, mainly against the IRS, but a few were state cases. So I got a lot of experience in that regard. But today, as you indicated, we're going to be talking about a non-tax issue and couple of issues, and there's an irony here, and the irony is, on the one hand, we're going to be discussing where we're against the government, and on the other hand, we're talking about where we're in favor of the government. And I'd like to start with the second first. That is, I'd like to talk about what's going on with this BLM, and especially in Portland, and this issue of the Insurrection Act. And the question becomes, why hasn't our president utilized it? And I have my answer. I'd like to hear your answer. But let's first just explain to readers. They can just Google Insurrection Act, and it was back in the 1800s, came up. And it was used recently in the Rodney King case. If you remember L.A. riots, after Rodney King or some police officers that were acquitted, a bunch of riots in the L.A. area, and they use our armed forces. Now, what I've seen online as the Insurrection Act, what I haven't seen is mention of the MLK riots after Martin Luther King was killed in April of 68. In fact, I was in the 82nd Airborne at that time, and I just left the 82nd Airborne on orders for the 101st Airborne in Vietnam. I spent 18 months in Vietnam, as it turned out, with the 173rd Airborne Brigade. as a platoon leader and company commander, so I know about arms and militia and the use of the military and so on. But my point is the 82nd Airborne was mobilized, because I just missed it. I just had gone on leave before going to Vietnam, but my unit went to either, I think it was Detroit and D.C. So my point is there's a recent history in this country of utilizing the military to shut down these riots. And especially in the case of Portland, what irks me, and I have a connection to that case, and that I was in that courthouse. They're protecting federal property, the federal courthouse, and they, meaning the U.S. Marshals, have been sent there to protect federal property. Well, that's a no-brainer. They got a duty to protect federal property, and yet the mayor is in support of the protesters who are trying to get through the barricades to get to the federal courthouse and destroy it. I was in that federal courthouse on a criminal tax case probably about 10 years ago. And I'm wondering if the courthouse were open today for business as usual instead of shut down because of this claimed crisis as to COVID-19, I'm just wondering if the result might be different, because they would be obstructing justice, in effect, because you wouldn't be able to get into the courthouse and proceed with trials and so on. So my view, Steve, is that the president ought to use the military, especially in Portland. Now, the act requires that he first make a proclamation, demand that they cease and desist, and I don't know how much time he's got to give them, but that, you know, he shouldn't have to give much time to cease and desist, and then send in the 82nd Airborne. What's your view?
Well, I mean, he wanted to do that in the early June when they started some of this. I mean, I can't believe it's going on as long as it has. So, but here's what the Insurrection Act says, and then I'll give you my opinion. It says that in any case of insurrection or obstruction of the laws, either of the United States or of individual states or territories, where it is lawful for the President of the United States to call forth the militia for the purpose of suppressing such insurrection or of the causing of the laws to be duly executed, it shall be lawful for him to employ, for the same purpose, such part of the land or naval forces of the United States as judged necessary, having first observed all prerequisites of the law. Look, the riots that you talked about are minor compared to what's going on today, and this is, looks like a coast-to-coast planned little event. I was surprised that Mayor Garcetti in Los Angeles asked for the National Guard on the first day, and they stopped the riots there, at least at that time. I haven't heard anything now from that area, but these other mayors are trying to keep Trump out, and I don't know that they have the authority in some respects to do that, because if you go to war, and if there's a war going on in Portland or in Oregon, it's going to affect the country, and that's part of our responsibility. I think they're doing it. Everybody, including the military, is telling them not to do it, and my opinion right now is that, yeah, it would stop the riots and make Trump look good. And everybody wants that to not happen, apparently.
Well, let me give you my view. My view is that there's a reason he's not doing it. This is my guess and my view. And the reason is it's just going to give more ammunition to the leftists. And the leftists, no doubt, are behind this BLM movement. You got all these militants, not just peaceful protesters saying BLM. It's the leftists engaged in armed conflict. But he plays into their hands if he sends the 82nd Airborne, because then they're going to say, oh, look at this president, you know, look how militant he is, and we don't need this, and we need Biden instead. So the voter, if you look at a voter who's in the middle somewhere and he's not sure who he wants to vote for, this might push him over the edge to vote for Biden. Whereas those who are definitely in favor of Trump, if he doesn't go, if he doesn't send the 82nd Airborne, they're disappointed, but it's not going to change their mind as to a vote. So I think maybe he's playing the voter edge on that issue, and that might be the reason, because otherwise I just don't understand why he would not do this, especially given the history that we just described as to Rodney King and then the MLK and the use of the military, and it's clearly authorized. And a whole bunch of the mayors, as you have mentioned, have come out and said, oh, we don't want the United States military in here, Trump. That's in violation of our rights and so on and so forth. And the mayor of Portland, I've seen him in the videos, and he in particular is saying, we don't want the feds in here. Well, too bad. Read the federal law. Read the Insurrection Act, and it doesn't require a request from a governor, much less from a mayor. It doesn't require any request from anyone. It requires a decision by the commander-in-chief. And when you see what's going on, when you watch enough of the videos to see, you got the federal courthouse, you got barricades, you got these rioters coming in every night trying to storm the federal courthouse and destroy it or damage it in some way. That's the duty of the federal marshals, yes, but also of the military if our president wants to mobilize the military. And I think why put marshals? I don't think marshals are their real duty is to prevent riots or to quash the riots. They're police officers, and that's a general duty of any police officer, I suppose. But when I was in the military, we were trained in this. In fact, I'll never forget an assignment I had when I was in the Utah National Guard Special Forces A-Team Commander. We were trained to go out with the firemen because of the riots back in that. This was in the early 70s. They still had Vietnam, anti-Vietnam protest riots. And we were trained. I spent the night in the station, in the fire station, slept in a sleeping bag. This was in the winter in Utah. And I was right next to the fire engine. And we had a test run. And they set a fire building out in the middle of nowhere. And our job was to cordon off the area. And they had some pretend protesters as part of this that were BYU University, BYU students, Brigham Young University students out of Provo, Utah. And they were there pretending to be the protesters. And so in the middle of a winter night in Utah, picture this, where the special forces armed and have a circle around this burning building so the firemen cannot be harmed while they go in and put out the fire. Well, that's part of my point is that's part of military training. And so it's not like you're sending in a group of soldiers who know nothing about preventing riots or protecting property. So back to the bottom line, I think that obviously it's authorized by federal law, number one. Number two, it's needed. Number three, I think it should be done. But number four, I can understand why the president might decide not to do it, or has thus far decided not to do it, and it's happening every night in the last, I don't know, at least week or 10 days in Portland alone. So,
yeah, well, you heard that they're going to pull the federal police out of there today. And
no, I didn't hear that.
And the local police are supposed to take care of that federal building tonight.
Well, lots
and,
of luck.
And the mayor said all the violence, the mayor apparently believes all the violence is going to end as soon as those people leave, which is, I think, pretty idiotic. And the more you give them, the more they take. I mean, so.
Well, maybe that will happen because it's all orchestrated by the left, i.e., it's all planned to make Trump look bad. So what do? You have these riots and you try to suck in the feds, and then you have them there for day after day. And in the evening news, the lead-in story, we still got these riots every night in Portland. Look, it's the marshals fighting against all these poor citizens that are just protesting. No, they're not just protesting; they're rioting, and they're attacking federal property. And so that plays into the hands of the leftists who want to make Trump look bad. So. Be interesting to see if they pull back now that the mayor has, I guess, reached some agreement with the feds, and we'll see if the local police can handle it or if they just back off.
Well,
it'll be an interesting turn of events tonight.
Well, there's the music. We've got a hard break coming up. You're listening to the Truth Attack Hour on Liberty Works Radio Network. We're talking with Attorney Donald McPherson about the Constitution, about the Insurrection Act, COVID-19, and the riots. Please stay tuned for more after this break.
Is Liberty Works Radio Network enlightening you to the real problems we face in our constitutional republic? Has it helped you to better understand what has to be done to save America from becoming a third world nation? If so, do your part in spreading this voice of truth and enlightenment to your fellow Americans. Join the Liberty Works Radio Network Fellowship. Go to www.libertyworksradionetwork.com for details.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
There's a battle going on, a war for your soul. It's a devil's deal, it's mind control. They want you to believe that you have no hope. They're counting on the fact that you are a dope. Well, they tell you the rules, tell you what to eat. They know that you won't question, they know that you don't read. We've lived a lie for way too long. It's time to know right from wrong. No matter what they told you all, courts and judges cannot make law. The case law method has a fatal flaw, because courts cannot make law. Courts cannot make law. Courts cannot make law. The case law method has a fatal flaw, because courts cannot make law. Congress makes the laws and the courts make none. That's in the Constitution, it's in Article 1. Look it up, read the words, use your own two eyes. Know it well, mark the spot, have it memorized. Tell your children, tell your mama, tell your family. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors if you wanna be free. You won't learn the truth in government schools. It's up to you to know the rules, no matter what they told you all. Courts and judges cannot make law. The case law method has a fatal flaw, because courts cannot make law. Courts cannot make law. Courts cannot make law. The case law method has a fatal flaw, because courts cannot make law. Oh, Dred Scott was not law, you see. They ignored the court then, and so should we. Slaughterhouse and Mickey Mouse and Roe v. Wade. Opinions are not how law is made. That's not the way that our founders planned. Now wise up and rise up across the land. Spread the word so everybody knows this emperor has got no clothes, no matter what they told you all. Courts and judges cannot make law. The case law method has a fatal flaw, because courts cannot make law. Courts cannot make law. Courts cannot make law. The case law method has a fatal flaw, because courts cannot make law.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting. America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
It doesn't take sight to reach the top. It takes vision. Eric Weinmayer knew the risks. Less than 1,200 people had ever conquered Mount Everest, and more than 175 had died trying. But still he climbed, not seeing the terrifying drops or the fear on other faces. And when he reached the summit, he didn't even see the view. Because Eric Weinmayer is blind. He proved it doesn't take sight to reach the top. It takes vision. Pass it on.
America. Born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Now live from coast to coast and around the globe, more real talk, the kind you want. on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Truth Attack Hour. I am Steve Hempling, Director of Free Enterprise Society. Truth Attack Hour is aired every day from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time on Liberty Works Radio Network. I want to comment how great Liberty Works Radio Network is. This network and networks like it. I mean, I believe these are going to be the new mainstream media of tomorrow. Because what considered the mainstream media is absolutely insane. They are, I mean, if anybody that pays attention at all knows that they're just... it's just one lie after another from a lot of these so-called news networks. And I don't know why something can't be done about that, but other than stop watching them and or listening to them and listen to this network. And but if you want to help this is a listener-supported network. You can go to lwrn.net and get a one-time donation, or you can set up maybe a monthly donation where you can be automatic and help out that way. Because it's going to be up to you to keep these networks on the air. Now, if you want to write this number down, it is a call-in number. It's 410-848-9191. Again, that's 410-848-9191. You're welcome to call in with questions or comments from my guest. Before I come back to my guest, I do want to announce one thing here in California. I mean, our Governor Newsom, he's become kind of a tyrant out here. There is a official... recall Gavin petitions have been running around. I've already signed mine, and I would think everybody listening to this program who lives in California would be interested in that. And you for that you go to recallgavin2020.com. recallgavin2020.com. You can download the forms. You don't have to go someplace and sign it. I mean, there are places to go probably, but you can get these and print them out. They print out the instructions on how to do it. And they need about 2 million signatures. They should get that fairly quickly. And so I hope you can do that. Well, we're back with my guest, Attorney Donald McPherson. We're talking about the U.S. Constitution, the Insurrection Act, and some other things. And we do have a caller, but before I get to that, I just want to say that, you know, when we recall Governor Newsom, I think that you, Donald McPherson, should put your name in the hat there. And I know you're an attorney. You're a very experienced attorney. You know all the dirty tricks, and you use the law in favor of the people instead of against them, like most of the politicians. So I would endorse you. So
well, thanks, but no thanks, Steve. I'm not going to be a politician.
Okay, we have a caller on the line. Jay is on the line, and so welcome to the program, Jay. If you got some brief comments or questions, then bring it on.
Thank you much. I just want to touch base on the point about the politics of the current matter. Many analysts have attributed Herbert Walker Bush to Clinton, his loss to Clinton, because of the way that he acted with the Rodney King matter, even though technically what he did is he scheduled a presidential inspection of the community and used 300 Marines as his advanced bodyguard. He didn't invoke the Insurrection Act. He went in with these Marines, and the fact that they were there in flak jackets and, you know, full battle dress put everybody on it. You know, it said basically, you know, we're going to stop all this shenanigans. Nobody wants, you know, I mean, if you look at the guys, they were ready to do battle with anybody that was out there doing mayhem. So that achieved it quelled the riots. However, the analysts have suggested that was one of the reasons why the socialist filth got in after him. And so I concur that there is a political concern about taking action. And I also think some of the problem is language. We hear a lot of people saying, oh, my First Amendment right, and they fail to consider the preamble that says, you know, ensure domestic tranquility. So unlike the peaceful marches of the Martin Luther King, men in shirts, women in business attire, we have this hooliganism is going on. This is destroying things. And I do think there is some foundation to invoke the Insurrection Act, because some of them have even come out and said they want they just want to secede from the Union. Now, is that a collective declaration of war? Does it warrant eclipsing the potential politics of it? You know, that's for somebody else to figure out. I do think, though, that too often we hear people screaming about rights and not thinking in terms of what that preamble says and the whole point of being civilized in the conduct. And, you know, if you guys want to comment about that, I'll just listen on the air rather than...
Hey Jay, I got a comment. I'm Mac here, and I appreciate your call in. And by the way, the source then that I have on the internet, I just Googled, Schnack, I forget what source it was that told me Rodney King was the last time it was utilized, but whether they're correct or you're correct is of no moment, really, because definitely the situation warrants use of the Insurrection Act if the president wanted to go that route. And I don't know if you're still on with this, but if you were the president, my question is, if you were the president, what would you do? Would you mobilize the 82nd Airborne, or would you... of course, now that Steve says with an update, it looks like the police might have things in order tonight. We'll see what happens. But if that doesn't happen and they continue to attack the federal building, what would you do? And if you're not there, well, even if you are there, we'll get your input. And then same question of Steve. That is,
I would consider doing the same thing that Herbert Walker Bush did. I would say, you know, I respect my military advisors, the senior general officers, and there's been a lot of studies done about U.S. citizens drawing down on other U.S. citizens, you know, military, that kind of thing, and it isn't the optimum. However, I would go ahead and say, look, I need to see this firsthand. And in so doing, then, now we have the Secret Service, and we have all these other services that come into play, again, to secure the area. And that's a different tenor. And that would be what I would consider doing. However, we're looking at 100 days until the vote. And given the incompetence of the opposition, I would not want to give them any more fuel to degrade the voting base that I would have. So it's an interesting thing you have to weigh. And if there are federal buildings and federal personnel who are at risk, then of course that's what the Federal Protection Service is about, which is a part of the Homeland Security, and that's what's being used there. Now, interesting enough, we saw some people spirited off. I have a suspicion, given that coincidental to those people being spirited away, we saw the Chinese consulate being closed down. I think there was some money coming from covert places and fueling the conduct of some of these hooligans and insurrectionists. And I think that if we connect these dots, we're going to see that some of these people were in violation of the Sedition Act as well. And maybe they'll end up being prosecuted for it. We don't know. But it's difficult now for the media to even process that kind of thinking because of the incompetence and improper monikers they use for this behavior. You know, they call them, they say it's a protest. It's not a protest. It's rioting. It is destroying businesses. It's hurting people. It's being this hooliganism and thuggery and disrupting the peaceful commerce of the states of the Union in general. So I think part of our language needs to reflect that as a society. And that will also help shape how this turns out.
Thanks, Jay. Those are really good comments. I can't really argue with a lot of that. So.
Okay, I'll be listening. Thank you.
All right. You know, this to me, the problem is that, in places where they had competent leadership, I don't think this happened. In Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, you heard about that? They heard Antifa's coming in, big vans pulled in with rocks and bricks and crowbars and got out. But over 1,000 people along with the law enforcement were out in the streets armed. And they didn't get anywhere. They were immediately disarmed and sent on their way, and no looting happened there. And that's true in other cities where the police did not give them an inch. First guy to pick up a rock got arrested. And the second one, and pretty soon they just stopped trying. But this mayor joining in with them, I mean, I'm starting to think that the mayor themselves are inciting riot with the comments they're making. Same with the media. Well, I would be supportive of Trump going in.
One of Jay's points was, this isn't like what we had with the MLK marches. And there's a good point. Why BLM, if BLM is serious about their endeavor and they want to be law-abiding citizens and do it the right way, i.e. petition for redress of grievances is guaranteed by the First Amendment U.S. Constitution, then why don't we see you marching as MLK did in an orderly fashion and not throwing rocks and trying to remove a barricade and that's the main effort that I've seen in the film clips, is they're trying to get to the federal courthouse in Portland and they got a big barricade there, so they got to push the barricade back and bring it down and get to the courthouse. Well, that's not what MLK demonstrated, so they should follow their example from the 60s and 70s of how this was done in far better fashion than this obvious attempted insurrection.
Well, I think it's more than it. I mean, Martin Luther King was just—he was trying to create a real equality under law, and supporting that. These guys are trying to tear down our law system. They want no courts. They want no law. They want no police, and they want no prisons. Who would want that?
Well, and it's obvious that it's orchestrated on the eve of trial, because when you look at the history of some of these, and some of these are atrocious actions by police officers, if you look at the videos, the recent one included.
No question,
but why all of a sudden, just on the eve, is it just coincidence that on the eve of the election that we have the BLM movement begun and then these riots occurring? It's just bringing attention to their cause to take down the president.
And well, yeah, they're not. Martin Luther King, where they gained respect in the way they did it. These people are just instilling fear. And the media covering them and siding with them is also inciting fear and the tendency to riot. It just seems like, you know, if I did that, stood up and encouraged people to do violence, I should be arrested. But that's not happening.
And you mentioned the mainstream media, and I got to tell you, I stopped watching the evening news about 10 years ago, because it's just obvious propaganda and lies. But once the virus started, then I started watching at least the introduction, Lester Holt and his introduction of cold breaking news. It's such a fraud. I just got to spend a few minutes here calling out obvious fraud. It's obvious fraud if you tell me it's breaking news, and I've just watched, because I'll tape several and then watch several at one time. And I just watched the one from the day before that had story A, and now you're telling me, Lester Holt, cold breaking news, and you're replaying story A. Well, I say replay, not literally, but you're telling the same story in a little different way and the same footage. And then it's fraud to show me footage that you claim as an event of today. And this was on the virus issue when they would show a hospital scenes. Now, I know they showed one hospital scene at least five different times on five different nights. Now, how do I know that? Because there was a guy in the hallway in the film, and he sat down and he put his coat over his head. And I was wondering, why does he have his coat over his head? To protect himself, or he doesn't want to be seen on camera? But in any event, it was footage that I saw with my own eyes time and time and time again. Now, if you don't want to go in the hospital for cold safety reasons, and therefore you want to use the same footage, then tell us that. Don't commit outright fraud. So I'm just bringing up these couple of examples because it's just obvious that they're frauds.
That's a good point. I've been by a couple of hospitals that are near me, and they look nearly empty, where they almost always were full before. A nurse in San Jose that I talked to, she says that, you know, they cleared out all the stuff that they would do normally, and they said, they're laying people off. We got nothing to do over here. And the hospitals are not overflowing with these things. So. All right, there's the music. I'm sorry, we've got to take a break here.
Okay.
Hold that thought. We can get right back to it. You're listening to the Truth Attack Hour on Liberty Works Radio Network. We're talking with Attorney Donald McPherson. about the Insurrection Act, U.S. Constitution, COVID-19. Please stay tuned for more after this break.
Is Liberty Works Radio Network enlightening you to the real problems we face in our constitutional republic? Has it helped you to better understand what has to be done to save America from becoming a third world nation? If so, do your part in spreading this voice of truth and enlightenment to your fellow Americans. Join the Liberty Works Radio Network Fellowship. Go to www.libertyworksradionetwork.com for details.
This is Randall Yearout on Jurisdiction.
When the U.S. territories applied for admission into the Union as states, the overarching principle that drove this decision was the desire to determine their own destinies and to be removed from what the U.S. Constitution calls the exclusive legislative jurisdiction of the Congress over the properties owned by the U.S. government. When what is now the state of Washington removed itself from this exclusive jurisdiction, it was required to write its own constitution, which would provide for a representative republican form of government for its citizens, such as the case for every state which joined our union. Today, our U.S. government officials and bureaucrats have lost sight of this fact, and now want to reassert exclusive legislative jurisdiction over the states and turn them into administrative subdivisions as though we were territories again. Sorry, U.S. government, but the Constitution says you don't have that authority. And Americans are beginning to realize that our founders intended for the individual states to either succeed or fail based on their own laws and policies. If the people don't like the way a particular state operates, they can move to another one where they do. The way our federal government operates today, the entire nation either succeeds or fails based on the policies of 535 legislators in Washington, D.C. And from what we can see from its history of failed social policies, I don't think these guys could pour sand out of a boot if the directions were written on the heel. We need to replace the socialist mindset in Washington, D.C. and our state governments with a restored American view of law and government.
This constitutional message has been brought to you by the members of the Constitution Party. Visit us at www.constitutionparty.com.
With the national debt climbing to an estimated $11 trillion, the White House announced an emergency economic plan today, trading the national gold reserves for cash through precious metal buyers, cashforgold.com.
I got $583 from cashforgold.com.
As you know, we have these very large debts, and the fact is the gold reserves are just sitting there. This woman turned in her wedding ring from her first marriage and got money the next day. If it worked for her, it can work for the United States.
How much does the federal government expect to receive in exchange for all the gold? That the Treasury Department should have looked into competing cash companies like dollarsforgold.com.
The reality is that we have over $1 trillion in economic stimulus packages
to pay for it.
We just need that cash now. The president agrees that this seems like a pretty good deal.
But is there a contingency plan if that proves not to be the case?
Well, yes, of course.
The cash received from the cashforgold.com plan is going to be supplemented by funding from the selling of White House furniture on Craigslist.org.
Well, that is correct. We've already sold a giant military map that we don't use very often.
Peeling back the layers every day with
Copperhead 1240, 1190, and 910 AM. Southern Rock, Kickin' Country, and Tennessee Talk.
People are surprised to learn that natural family planning couples have a lower divorce rate than couples who use other methods of family planning. NFP couples report better communication that improves marital intimacy and respect. For information on how you and your spouse can learn natural family planning in English or Spanish, see the Couple to Couple League's website at ccli.org or call 800-745-8252.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Dad, where did the clouds come from?
Well, buddy, that's a good question.
Is this worm a boy or a girl?
Why are carrots orange?
Actually,
Dad, why don't you have any hair on your head?
How do birds fly?
Why is dirt brown? Why can't I fly? Are we there yet?
You may
may not have all the answers, but if they're comfortable coming to you now when the questions are small, they'll come to you with the bigger questions later.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Give your family everything. Give them your time.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting. Now live from coast to coast and around the globe, more real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Truth Attack Hour. I am Steve Hempling, Director of Free Enterprise Society. Truth Attack Hour is aired every day from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time on Liberty Works Radio Network. If you want to write this number down, it is a call-in number. It's 410-848-9191. That, again, is 410-848-9191. You're welcome to call in with questions or comments for my guests. We're back with my guest, Attorney Donald McPherson, talking about the Constitution, COVID-19, the riots, the Insurrection Act, and others. But before we go on, we should, you're a lawyer and have a firm, and people can help you, and you ought to let people know how to get a hold of you.
Well, it's a real easy website, beatirs.com, beatirs.com. In fact, we're speaking more about COVID-19, so-called, and my two sons, Nathan and Scott, they've got a lawsuit, and you've had Nathan on concerning this issue. They got a lawsuit against the governor of Idaho, and Idaho has now filed a motion to dismiss, and Nathan Scott have responded, so we'll see how that goes. But as you've probably covered on many of your shows, there's lawsuits all over the country against governors, some successful, some not. And some, in this case, it's a church case. So it's First Amendment and freedom of religion and so on, equal protection. And a lot of the lawsuits are as to businesses. And Nathan's been contacted by several businesses in Idaho. He might be filing another lawsuit as to the businesses being shut down. So that's just a whole other crazy area of developing law as to what the government must show as to, is it a true emergency, and does it warrant, you can go to Walmarts and shop and commingle with all these people. Yeah, you got to wear a mask, and some of them not in all of them. I just heard that Walmart now is saying you're not going to have to wear masks nationally. You don't have to wear a mask in Walmarts, but in any event, they treat patrons of Walmart differently than they treat those who would dare exercise the First Amendment and go to church and worship and want to even social distance, be 6 feet apart, but no masks so they can sing. And I'll leave those specific issues for another day for Nathan to be on the show with you and give you an update as to that litigation and any new litigation.
We have a caller. What was her name?
James.
James. All right. Come on in.
Yeah. Hi. Good show. I wanted to talk about the Corona thing. Fauci, he financed the lab in Wuhan with U.S. tax dollars, $37 billion. And there was an American scientist there working on Corona in that lab. And this is like, similar to like Kissinger opening up China and all of our technology went over there and our jobs and our industries. This is high treason again. And Bill Gates is involved with Fauci. They're hooked together. They want to do a vaccination worldwide. And this thing is absolutely demonic. They want to have forced vaccinations. So this Corona thing, I think, is a globalist plot. And they're getting us to, wear masks and, be 6 feet, this is all mind control, part of the brainwashing propaganda, And I'm not saying like there isn't an illness, but apparently they created this thing and released it. And Fauci, just one last thing. There's a Judy, what's her name? Judy Mikovits. She has a book called Plague, and her attorney wrote the book. And Fauci had her arrested and held in jail for 5 days, stopped her from publishing her scientific paper, and she lost her job, and her boss lost his job also. They were good people. She was doing good work on HIV, and she discovered that the blood supply in the U.S. was tainted with HIV. And Fauci was involved in that, and he's dirtier than dirty. And, you know, this is like you can smell a rat with this. So that's my comment.
All right, James, thanks for coming. I'm going to let you go.
But, James, thanks for your call in, and that's a great lead into what I was about to say concerning this issue. And not to sound too dramatic, but, yeah, it's right out of 1984. If you read that book in high school or more recently, as I have.
Yes.
And I predicted, not that I'm any great one to be predicting anything, but back when barcodes first came into existence, it troubled me. Barcodes mean you go in the grocery store, and in the old days when I was growing up, you go through a grocery store and the clerk looks at the item and says the price and then puts it into the cash register. Enters the price. Then they came up with barcodes. Well, that's pretty neat. You just swipe this right over. And the computer reads it. Well, it occurred to me that in my lifetime or after my lifetime, the government will end up putting a chip in your wrist, and on that chip will be your full medical history and all your financial history, and there will be cashless society because everyone's going to have this chip, and all the transactions are going to occur by swiping your wrist at the cash register. And it'll be the computer read. Now, why do I bring that up now? Because just what James talked about, mentioned mandatory vaccination is where this is headed. If we've got miles and miles of cars in line, people sleeping in their cars to do what? For the mere task of having a sample, having a swab go clear up their nose as far as it can go so they get a sample so they can be tested if they have this claimed virus. That's sheeple. That's the people acting like sheep. And if they're in line just to do that, they're going to be in line to be vaccinated. And we're to trust this vaccination. By the way, I filed a lawsuit on behalf of chiropractors in Arizona about, must have been 20, 25 years ago, to fight mandatory vaccination. And there's a lot of states, including Arizona, where you're exempt from the mandatory vaccination. I mean, kids going to school. And one of my sons, when he went to Arizona State University, they said, of course, this was another fraud. They said, oh, you got to be vaccinated. Well, you look up the law and it says you got to be vaccinated unless you want to claim a religious or other exemption, privacy reasons or medical reasons, whatever. You just got to claim it. They didn't tell the students that. They lied to the students. They said you got to be vaccinated. So my son went
by omission, yes.
I copied the statute, had my son take it in, and he showed it to him and said, oh, you're right. Okay, you don't have to be vaccinated. And one case of me, when I fought this in Arizona, there's claimed measles epidemic, and we had a hearing, and the head doctor in Arizona for the state was on the stand, and I said, how do you define an epidemic? He said, it's one case. One case of measles is an epidemic of measles. So
yeah,
that's the kind of mentality we're dealing with.
If people are paying attention, that this whole thing is alive. Listen, our producer did look up the name of that book here for you, so she can tell you that.
It's Dr. Judy Mikovits, Mikovitz, and the book is called Plague.
Plague. Okay, I think that I saw that advertised in America Free Press just the other day. Okay, great. Thank you. So I think where this all is headed is, okay, you get pulled over by the cop, and he doesn't ask just for your driver's license. He asks for proof that you've been a recipient of this government-approved vaccine. And now the question is, well, what's in that vaccine? They're going to now have these samples sticking the swab up your nose. They're going to have everybody's DNA. They're trying to have everybody's DNA. They're going to have all that networks in the computer, then they're going to put whatever they decide to put in this vaccine, probably a tracking device. And it's, I got to say, it's right out of 1984.
Very, very trusting. Do you remember the 94, 95 when they did the swine flu vaccine? They rushed a vaccine to market, and they had all these government people on TV lining up, getting the shots, and a lot of them, they had a lot of problems with that. People going into wheelchairs and stuff, not being able to walk, and and other neurological problems.
Yeah, and to be clear, when I say 1984, I'm referring to the book,
right?
Which was written in 1940, just after World War II, I think, was published.
Yeah, you have no freedom. You got cameras on you all the time. They're listening in on everything you say, and you got these checkpoints that are reading some invisible thing on your body somewhere, I guess, everywhere you go. Yep, it, you know, that's what they want, but I am going to stop it, and you're going to help stop it, and all the listeners here, you're just not going to put up with that. That's what I say.
Well, and that's a big question mark. How many people are going to fight this, especially when you see how many people will be in line, in a car line 5 miles long, and sleep in their cars at night so they can stay in that line just to be tested. And what's the purpose of being tested? Because you're told... If the news is halfway right, you're told, well, you're not, the hospital doesn't want you unless, even if you've been tested positive, they don't want you in the hospital unless you can't breathe any longer, unless you're about to die. So if you've been tested positive, it's not so you can go to the hospital because they're not going to have you. So you're going to be quarantined? That's the purpose? And by the way, when you're tested, they say the quarantine, there's a period, a waiting period. Once you have it, there's a waiting period of 14 days. What if you got it yesterday? If there is something to have, if you got it yesterday, then you're tested today. It ain't going to show. So what's the purpose of the test? Or if you
well, I hear a lot, we have all kind. It goes from one end of the spectrum to the other. These tests are inaccurate. Even whether you have it or not, a lot of them are inaccurate. Florida, you saw what was that one guy. Died in a motorcycle accident. He died of COVID-19, amazingly.
Yeah.
You can't tell any of these numbers.
They're just way out of whack. Well, I know some firemen, got a connection in Phoenix to some firemen. These firemen get letters saying they've been tested as positive. They got to come in and they got to be quarantined. They never got tested. So
yeah.
How bad is that?
I've talked to several people like that. That got they received results from their tests that they never took in the mail. So there's a this is a big something evil going on.
Yeah, and I'm also told by the same people in Phoenix that you stand in line and they give you numbers. So let's say you're number 5, but Bob is number 4. He's in front of you, but he gets impatient. He leaves. So. You end up as number 4, even though you're supposed to be number 5. So in the records, they got them wrong. So they got you as Bob. So it's just way out of hand, total craziness. And I hate to say this, Steve, but I think we're going to have the same conversation a year from now. I don't think this is going away anytime soon. The schools aren't going to be opening, most of them. LA's already announced.
I know the leadership is being ridiculous, but if they opened, the people wouldn't care. It's pretty obvious that the general public is tired of this. Listen, before we go, we've only got a little bit left, but I want to throw out my website at freeenterprisesociety.com. You can get a lot of information on the income tax, and we have some information there on the COVID. We have a constructive notice, and we're going to put some more things up there that you can give to government officials. And to tell them that you know your rights, you're not waiving your rights, you're not volunteering for anything, because as far as I'm concerned, Emergency Powers Act or not, they do not have the right to set aside the Constitution. That is unalienable. They cannot ever take your constitutional rights away. So they can change statutes and set aside regulations and things, but not the Constitution. All right, sorry about that. So we only got a minute left. Anything else you want to comment on there in the end?
Yes, again, beatiris.com is our website, beatiris.com.
There and you go. The music's here. So
Nathan's lawsuit's posted on that website.
Yep. check out his website. He's got a lot of good information. Thanks for joining us on the Truth Attack Hour. I'll be hosting this every Wednesday. Also, check out truth-attack.org or com and freeenterprisesociety.com.
Join the Cavalcade to Freedom. The Cavalcade backed to constitutional government. Climb on board and do your part to proclaiming liberty throughout the land. Join and support Liberty Works Radio Network Fellowship. To view the strategic plan, to spread the word, and to get information on joining, go to www.libertyworksradionetwork.com or call the fellowship office at 410-857-5444. That's 410-857-5444. To join the Cavalcade to Freedom. America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
And now, for the Institute on the Constitution, here's Michael Anthony Perutka with The American View.
In his book titled What I Saw in America, G.K. Chesterton wrote the following.
We are perpetually being told in the papers that what is wanted is a great man who will do things. What is wanted is a great man who will undo things. That will be a real test of greatness.
These days, in my home state of Maryland, this is precisely what we need. And we should follow Chesterton's advice most especially in the upcoming elections. Our Maryland legislature and our Maryland governor and many of our county councils have overthrown the rule of law and have established a lawless and chaotic reign of terror on the people of this state. Under the color of law, they have conspired to break the law by declaring a perverse definition of marriage, by denying the people the God-given right to defend themselves, by harassing the people through tiresome regulation, and by taxing the reign. Rather than uphold the law, they have mocked the law by declaring themselves to be the law. As election time nears, we should not be looking to elect more phonies who will promise us the things that they will do for us. What we should demand to know of all future candidates is what they will undo for us. We should ask, what pretended legislation will you repeal? What lawless officials will you impeach? What oppressive regulations will you erase? If you don't credibly declare in detail the things that you will undo, then you will fail the test of greatness and you will fail to get our vote. This is Michael Anthony Perutka for Institute on the Constitution, bringing you the American view.
This is Rob McQuay for the Institute on the Constitution, and you've just finished hearing Michael Anthony Perutka's commentary on The American View. The views and opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this radio station, and we welcome any comments and suggestions you may care to offer by emailing us at michael@theamericanview.com. If you'd like to learn more about the Institute on the Constitution's work, you can find out more about who we are and what we do at theamericanview.com.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my mom.
I'd probably talk about girls.
We'd probably talk about girls.
Anything. Boys, school, clothes.
You'd be amazed at what they'll talk about if you give them the chance.
If I had a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If it were real heart-to-heart, I'd tell my parents what I'm going through.
I'd probably talk to them about growing up.
I'd probably tell my dad that I wish we'd do more stuff together.
I don't think it has to be a heart-to-heart. I just want to talk.
Give your family everything. Give them your time.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
She knows a hollow from a double up. She does snapbacks, backsides, shoots the curl. Bethany Hamilton knows everything about surfing. She just didn't know about the shark. But just months after the attack, and with only one arm, the 13-year-old surfs again. And now she's ripping it better than ever. So next time life puts a little fear in you, just think of Bethany Hamilton hanging 10 on top of a heavy wave. That's real courage. Pass it on.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.